All right, good morning. Thank you guys so much for attending. My name is Marcia Penny, and I work for Riverside County, which is a county located here in California. And we have the opportunity to, on a monthly basis, analyze, or more frequently than that in some cases, but we analyze lots of different data sets. And I had the opportunity to use some law enforcement data to look at motor vehicle crash. And so this is what I'm going to share with you guys today. All right, so here's the disclaimer, no relationships to disclose. Here's just like a quick overview of what I'm going to be presenting. All right, so where is Riverside County? Riverside County is actually the fourth largest county in California, largest county geographically and population-wise. We have a population of 2.1 million residents. We've had a boom, of course, in the past decade. We've experienced about 44% growth in our population size. So we've had a lot of urban sprawl, a lot of development taking place in our county. And so we're located just north of San Diego County and Imperial Counties and east of Orange County and south of San Bernardino. So the purpose of this research project was to look at the incidence of motor vehicle crash in Riverside County. And I used two different data sources. So I wanted to compare, we're looking at motor vehicle crash fatality with a database that we're very familiar with and we use all the time. However, another database, which I'm going to share with you, was something a little different. So we wanted to use that database to really take a close look at motor vehicle crash at the scene of the incident. So the research questions that we created: when were crashes most likely to occur, and does that change when alcohol is involved? So that was our first research question. We also wanted to look at who was at greatest risk of motor vehicle fatality. Did that change by gender? Did that change by age? And did restraint usage reduce the severity of the injury that may have been experienced? So the two different databases I used, the first was, it's called SWTRS, the Statewide Integrated Traffic Record System. This is a database that's provided with our CHP. So California Highway Patrol documents data, and they enter this data in a state database. It's collected on what's called a traffic collision report. So we have data from 2006. We merged these files, and then we completed a descriptive analysis of that data. We also use EDRS, which is our electronic death registration system. This data is collected by our vital records, our Office of Vital Records. There's 2006 provisional files that were merged, and then I had the opportunity to summarize some of that data as well associated with motor vehicle crash. So this is just a quick photo of the traffic collision report, the first page of the traffic collision report that's collected for SWTRS. So what happens when there's a motor vehicle crash that requires law enforcement to arrive? They document this information on a traffic collision report. It's a four-page report. The law enforcement officer will interview individuals at the scene of the crash. They complete this report. And if any of you have ever been in a motor vehicle crash, you know that after 10 to 14 days, that report's available to you. So this is the same report. 10 to 14 days, you would have the opportunity to pick up your report. The top two pages are then sent to the state. So they're sent to California Highway Patrol's Information Services Unit, and they enter that data in the SWTRS database. And then we, as a health department, have a relationship with the SWTRS Information Services Unit team to actually have those data files downloaded and sent to us at the local level. And then we can analyze that data. But we have the non-public use data. You can go to their website and pull up reports that they've published, canned reports that they've completed for the state as a whole. If you want information about your individual county in the state of California, you would contact SWTRS. They can work with you to compile a report, or they can send you that data so that you can analyze the data yourself. And then EDRS. California has an electronic death registration system. Not every county in California participates, but for the most part, the majority of counties. We have about 58 counties, 60 jurisdictions in California, and many of them participate. And ultimately, what happens is any disposition of human remains in the state of California, you have to apply for a permit. And that permit and that death is registered with the local Office of Vital Records. And so that gets inputted in a database, and we can download that data. We download that data on a weekly basis. So we download data surrounding deaths in our county on a weekly basis, and we have the opportunity to look at that information before it goes to the state and before allocations take place. So we can look at deaths that took place in our county, whether or not the person was a resident of our county. So we also have the non-public use files that are downloadable for us. So when do crashes occur? We can see that the majority of crashes, there were about 10,825 crashes that took place in Riverside County in 2006. Now, these are crashes where law enforcement needed to respond. So, of course, there's probably many more than that. But these are the ones where law enforcement responded to the scene of the crash. Over 70% of those crashes took place during the daytime hours. So we know that people are traveling during the day. You have the peaks that take place in the morning when there's early morning rush hour. And then there's also a little peak at lunchtime when people are commuting back and forth for lunch. And then during evening rush hour, we also see a peak of our crashes. But then we decided to look at alcohol-related crashes, and is there a difference? And we see that there is. Those bars peak on the outer ends. So we see an increase in alcohol-related crashes taking place during the evening and early morning hours. So that's over 70% of alcohol-related crashes take place between those evening times. So this really validates our assumptions about what's happening, when crashes occur, whether alcohol is involved or alcohol is not involved. And then we looked at who is at greatest risk of motor vehicle fatality. Among all age groups, we find that males, of course, are at the greatest risk of motor vehicle fatality. Nearly 70% of all motor vehicle fatalities were among males, and that's among all age groups. Then when we stratify the data and we looked at the different age groups, under age 15, equal. Males and females are equal. These are children being driven by their parents. Equal risk, or we assume equal risk of motor vehicle fatality, but we see equal proportion of motor vehicle fatalities. And then when we look at our age groups, our high-risk age group, the 15 to 24, almost 80% of the fatalities were among males in the 15 to 24 age groups. The greatest proportion of motor vehicle fatalities did take place in our 25 to 44 age group. But when we look at the gender differences, we start to see those differences start to go away a little bit. Not entirely. They don't return back to that under 15 age group, but they do start to decrease as we age. And then we looked at injury by restraint usage among crash victims. And what we found was that among those who were unrestrained, so those who did not use or where it was documented that they did not use a seatbelt or any type of restraint, we found that 90% of those who were not restrained experienced some type of injury, from very minor injury up to severe or fatal injury. That's about seven. Among those restrained, we only see a total of about 70%, a little under 70% experienced some sort of injury. One of the other interesting differences we found was that among those who did not utilize any type of restraint, 14% experienced severe to fatal injury compared to the 2% that experienced severe or fatal injury who were restrained. Okay, so we saw some differences there. We also see that there's a greater proportion of those who experienced no injury who were restrained compared to those who were not restrained. So those different databases that exist, they tell us different things. And what we found with EDRS, the Electronic Death Registration System, it does provide demographic detail on our fatality victims. We can get some characteristics of the fatality victims. We can look at age, the date of birth is in there. We can also look at their marriage status. We can look at their education level. We can also look at time of injury versus time of death, which is clearly indicated in EDRS. But there's no crash-specific details. There's no information about the vehicle they were in. There's no information about whether they were restrained or unrestrained. There's no information about whether they were ejected or non-ejected. So we would really have to use a different database, and that's why we use SWTRS. We can get information from three different files in SWTRS. There's a collision file, which contains all of the details about the automobile crash. And these are automobile-related. You can have car on pedestrian, car on bicyclist, car on car, or single car crash. So these all involve motor vehicles. There's also a party file, which contains information about every individual who was involved in that crash. And then there's a victim file, any individual who was injured in that crash. So those three files exist. You can look at them independently, or you can merge them together. So we get details about the crash itself and the causes of the crash. This database also documents behaviors that people may be engaged in behind the wheel of a vehicle. It documents whether or not they were smoking, eating, drinking, talking on the cell phone, inattention. All of those different things are documented in this database. However, there's no demographic detail provided. Now, I know that's a little bit contrary to what I mentioned in terms of the traffic collision report. You know, looking at a traffic collision report, there's lots of demographic information that's contained. However, that is censored. So when they submit that information to the state has it, but in public use files and non-public use files, the state does not provide us any of that information about the individual. So we can look at certain types of demographic factors, but we don't know marriage status, we don't know educational level, we don't know those things as it pertains to the individual involved in the crash. Something else we found was that 87% of the fatalities occurred during that SWTR's reporting window. So that 10 to 14 day period, 87% of the fatalities were reported during that time frame. Riverside County's fatality rate was higher than California's fatality rate. Our fatality rate was about 15.7 per 100,000, whereas California's rate was only 11.2. And that rate does change a little bit when I look at SWTR's data versus EDRS. EDRS's data, their death date is very clear and it's documented. You may have individuals who die later outside of that reporting window, and so they're not contained in SWTR's. So then you would use EDRS to really get a handle on some of those rates and look at the state rate for EDRS as well. And the primary collision factor was unsafe speed, and about 30% of all motor vehicle crashes, unsafe speed was documented. There are lots of different causes of crashes that are documented, but that represented the greatest proportion. And 43% of all fatal crashes involved alcohol. Among all crashes, whether or not there was a fatality, 10% of all crashes involved alcohol. However, 43% of all fatal crashes involved alcohol. So there were some limitations to using these different databases, in particular SWTR's. It's very subjective and there's some inconsistent data. There are three different files. Each file may ask a question about alcohol involvement. You look at the case ID and recognize in each file you can identify those party members, those victims, and that collision ID. But then at each point when they ask about alcohol involvement, one may say yes and the other may say no. So it can be very inconsistent at times. And then you have an issue with multiple files being merged. When they get merged together, some data starts to disappear. So there has to be some really good sound methodology, and you have to really work with the state to develop syntax that will eliminate the removal of certain data elements. And there are different files with different data sets. You have EDRS versus SWTR's. There are different variables that are contained in those different databases. The variables are the way you ask the questions surrounding alcohol involvement is very different from database to database, at least file to file when it's contained in SWTR's. Now, some of the future directions, we want to look at developing a sound methodology and really working with the CHP's information unit to either have them merge the files for us when they send them to us or assist us in developing syntax so that when we merge those files, we don't lose data. We also want to examine relationships between behaviors and outcomes. Do some type of inferential analysis. We primarily looked at data descriptively, but it would really be nice to examine some relationships and maybe even perform some type of temporal analysis to look at changes in behaviors after the institution of the July 1st hands-free cell phone law in California. And then also look at the use of hospitalization data to obtain a complete picture of motor vehicle crash and outcome. We would like to look at average length of stay, maybe the cost of hospitalization associated with motor vehicle crashes, and also maybe look at some trauma data. We do have access to trauma data. There's a database called the Collector, and it provides injury severity scale. So it would really be nice to look at injury severity as it's linked to hospitalization, as it's linked to restraint use or non-restraint use. So those are some of the things that we'd like to look at with these databases. All right, so here's my contact information. Once again, I'm with Riverside County Department of Public Health. We do have a booth here in the Exhibitor Hall, booth 1515. And so I do have this publication there, and we have lots of other publications. If any of you guys are interested in looking at some of the research projects we've had the opportunity to work on, you're welcome to come by. Thank you.
We have 5 minutes for the question.
I haven't had the opportunity to look at it, but the data is there. So we do have the ability to look at speed-related. We have the ability to look at just about everything. There's so many variables in that database. You've got three files, and the collision file is one of the largest files, and it contains so many different variables. But they document things. They'll have two different variables that pose similar questions, and they can be documented differently at each point in time. Like I mentioned before, you have alcohol involvement, and then you have DUI. And one will say yes and the other will say no. And there's some issues with that. And so it would be nice to really take a look at that and really identify whether or not there's some errors there or if there's some inconsistencies there. I didn't. What I actually did was I just merged the two files that I really needed at the time. When you merge only two files, you don't have that significant missing data issue as you do when you merge all three. So then I was able just to merge the party information and then merge the party with the collision and then merge the victim with the collision and look at those two separate, those two files merged together independently. It is. It is. So it definitely, I mean, we're dealing with inconsistencies. And also, we're also dealing with the fact that somebody may suffer an injury a bit more severe than what the law enforcement officer thought it was when they documented. They don't go back and change their report. So if somebody was severely injured, they document severe, or minor injury, they document minor, and then the person may have expired in the past week, and it's not documented as a fatality. So that's why I use EDRS data for a motor vehicle crash fatality. There was 365 deaths in EDRS, and only 316 deaths in SWTRs. So we know that there's a gap. There are people who passed away after the reporting by the law enforcement officer. There's no information about that in this database. We could work with the CHP's Information Services Unit to figure out what other databases they have that we currently don't have access to and see if that information is public record to utilize. That's our hope. That's our plan. We currently don't have all of 2007's data yet. We're still waiting on the download for the last quarter of 2007, so we know we're not going to get 08's until next fall. But we'll hopefully have the opportunity to look at those differences. When we talk about inconsistent reporting, that was the most inconsistent type of behavior reported. Alcohol involvement was inconsistent, but not nearly as inconsistent as cell phone use. There's so many different questions about cell phone use, and many of them were just left blank by law enforcement. For this project, I did not. I did look at area of motor vehicle crashes. Majority of the motor vehicle crashes took place in the more densely populated areas, typically along our highways. So that's the western portion of our county. We do have an epidemiologist who's had the opportunity to look at pedestrian-related injuries associated with motor vehicle crash, and he's actually mapped out areas surrounding schools to identify intersections where they're at greater risk of some type of injury associated with motor vehicles with pedestrians. So we've had the opportunity to do that with pedestrians and schools, but not with the motor vehicle crash, not as of yet.
Just one more.
We can. Vehicle type. There's so many variables. That was one of the things I really wanted to look at, the types of vehicles that were involved in crashes. There's so many. So we really have to sit down and start curating categories. I mean, they have everything down to, there are six different variables for truck. You've got different axles of the types of, that describe the type of truck. So then you have to really identify what types of trucks those are and figure out which ones you can lump together, because many of them we would assume just by the description that we can lump them together, but they're so different they need to be categorized separately. So there's a way of doing that, but it would definitely take a little bit of time to collapse those variables. Yep.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Marcia. I apologize for the mistake I made on your name. I hope I don't make another mistake on his name. This presenter, Jerry
Abraham,
from Emory University, he will make a presentation on... Please, step up.
All right. Well, this presentation hopefully will complement what Marcher just shared, actually. It's kind of right in line and takes exactly what she was talking about to the next level and focuses on national data for restraint use and outcomes, injury severity. Let me see how this works here. Other...